Hey there, listeners. This is Christo here, and welcome back to another episode of the Basic Bananas Small Business Marketing Show. Today, I've got a very special guest, someone I've known for a few years now. Colin, how long have we known each other? Probably
Probably about four or 5 years
5 years or so. Yeah, exactly. And a really smart guy to always love to catch up with this guy because he's always got really smart things to say and very insightful. And works, he's one of those guys that's kind of gone out on his own, which I think is really impressive, and managed to get in and do some really impressive things with really big clients, you know, as a trainer and consultant. And so wanted to get him on the show today to, you know, squeeze a bit of this information, hear a bit about him and how he's got to this place of, you know, amazing, doing amazing things. So welcome, Mr. Colin Boyd.
Thank you, Christo. It's good to be
Yeah, it's awesome to have you on the show.
here.
And I'm really looking forward to this one because, you know, I know I've wanted you on the show for a while, and
Yeah.
there's a lot of, you know, this will be really beneficial. Just to give a little heads up for our listeners, Colin's really strong in presentation skills and productivity, and works with, you know, some huge clients like Suncorp, Hewlett-Packard, Fuji Xerox, Allianz. Like, that's probably just the tip of the iceberg. Hope I'm doing you justice here.
Thanks, mate.
But so this will be really insightful for all of our listeners, and he's always you know, really generous with his information and sharing. So let's hear a little bit about from your side though. What's your well, let's share some productivity tips and things for our listeners so they walk away with some, you know, some information and some tips and things that they can kind of get busy with. And but first of all, so we know a bit more about you, do you want to share a bit about your story and kind of tell us about you and I guess how you got into business and, you know, and how it's grown and where you're at now?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Christo. So for me, I started off in marketing, came out of university kind of pretty fresh, wet behind the ears, went into marketing. And personally, I had an experience that kind of didn't go all that well. I was fresh out of university. I was in marketing, and I wasn't enjoying what I was doing. Actually, I was hating. I remember waking up one day in the sick bay. I'd been sleeping there all lunchtime, and because I was so exhausted from my job, and I didn't realize that the job was completely ill aligned with my skill sets and my passions and so forth at the time. I just wanted a graduate role and was kind of trying to do my best. And I remember I worked in there for a couple of years and then ended up kind of moving out of there and went into training and learning and development. And for me, that was where I kind of really found my sweet spot. And quickly kind of progressed with my career in training and development, and I had some really great opportunities to work with some big corporates, and then got the gift of redundancy. And
What a gift.
it was
Very
such a
nice.
gift at the time. And I think I'd been working at the business for about a year at that particular business, so it was a huge payout of like about 3 weeks. And so I was all set to start my new business. And I remember kicking it off. I was freshly. I'd just been married. I'm still married, which is a good thing. Been married for almost 9 years now.
Nice.
And kicked off my coaching and training business. And quickly, I guess, kind of learnt what it took to actually make stuff happen. I know for me, I realized that, you know, if I didn't make stuff happen, if I didn't bring value to my clients, then I wasn't eating on Thursday. Because, you know, if I wasn't bringing real value and seeing significant change in people's lives, then people weren't going to exchange money or value for it. So quickly learned kind of what it took, and took some hard knocks along the way, as we all do. And so I've been in business now for about 6 years. And really enjoy it, really love it. I do a lot of consultancy to large corporations, and then I also run public workshops and public academies for people in the area of presentation and productivity skills. So it's been a really great journey. I've been really blessed. I remember my first paid speaking engagement came out of a free workshop, and what had happened was, I'd spoken at this free workshop on this literally like dark and gloomy night, and I was completely freaked out by it. And I remember there was a guy who called me 2 days later and said, "Hey, would you mind doing a presentation for our organization? And I said, oh, that sounds great. And we got chatting, and it ended up being Hewlett Packard. It was my first paid speaking gig, and wow. We got chatting, and he said to me, he said, hey, what you know, what's your fee? And I told him my fee, and we got chatting a little bit further, and then, you know, I was pretty new to this whole game, and I said, oh, like, how many people are going to be on the call? And he said, oh, there'd probably be about 6,000. What? 6,000? And he said, yeah, it's the whole, you know, kind of finance department for Hewlett Packard, and it's a training day across the globe. And first of all, I thought, that works out to about 0.5 cent per person.
I was going to say, did you undercharge? Yeah.
Definitely didn't charge enough. But secondly, I thought, you know, wow, this is a pretty big opportunity. So I've been pretty blessed along the way and had some really unique opportunities to share insights with people. So, but kind of my journey started off with a baptism of fire.
What an awesome opportunity. Did you freak out just having that? How were the nerves through that?
Completely freaked out heading into it. And I remember, I mean, this is the reason why I love teaching people presentation skills is because I know for me, you know, I've gone from shaking in front of people with my hand, you know, and leg and grabbing the microphone to keep my other hand still. Mm. And I remember heading into this presentation and I was completely freaked out and my wife came up to me and she said, why are you doing this presentation? And I was like, oh, that's a good question. And then she said, like, for what purpose are you doing it? And then I said, well, it's to change people's lives. It's to add value. And when I realized that it actually wasn't about me because I was making it about me and I realized it was actually never about me, that's when it shifted for me, in terms of that presentation. I realized that this wasn't, it was never about me. It was always about adding value. And that's what I love to help people to do when I'm teaching presentation skills and so forth, make that shift.
Awesome. Yeah. What a mindset shift. Just that it's not about you. Forget about yourself and serve the people in front of you. That's a really good insight. Good gold nugget for our listeners. What about, I love the fact that you said too, that it was from a free workshop that you actually got that opportunity, which has turned out to be a huge opportunity, because I think a lot of the time people are always kind of looking for the golden ticket, you know, the silver bullet, the magic strategy, and trying things all over the place, but not really just, you know, getting out there and getting in front of people, especially in a space like a training space or a consulting space. So that's a really good insight there too, which hopefully, you know, a lot of our listeners will take on board as well.
It's probably one of my best marketing strategies. I mean, in my business, is getting out there and just having conversations with people and speaking in front of an audience from a marketing perspective is just massive, because people get to feel you, they get to sense you, they get a taste of you, and then if they like you, then they'll do work with you. So, yeah, huge.
Yeah. Did you always want to, like, obviously you said from your marketing role, you know, you ended up in sick bay and hated the role. Did you have plans prior to that to start your own business? Were you one of those that sort of kind of always wanted to do it, or was it just something that happened?
I remember chatting with my dad about starting. We wanted to start my business, or we wanted to start a business together before I was 30. But that was about it, and it never really kind of eventuated. I didn't even think I was going to run my own business. Like, it was a bit of a pipe dream, circumstances aligned for me that kind of pushed me into making a decision about that. I actually didn't think I was going to start a business. I don't know if that's everyone's experience at all, but yeah, I didn't imagine it, because my dad had never run a business, and so I just grew up. My dad was in sales; he was a sales director, I just kind of grew up with an employee mentality, so I had to make some big shifts.
Yeah, right. And what's it look like now? What's your kind of like? What's the, you know, like a week in the life of Colin Boyd kind of looking like? Give us a kind of a stacked week. What kind of goes on?
Yeah, so usually like Mondays is kind of like my thinking creation day, you know, designing new content, new IP, for, you know, productivity or presentation skills, and then or a workshop I've got coming up. And Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is very much delivery day. So I'll be with clients, coaching, training in organizations, running public workshops, kind of flying around Australia mainly at the moment. And then and Fridays usually kind of doing marketing, webinars, follow-ups, things like that.
Nice. That's a really cool structure you've kind of built out there. I can see why your productivity, expert in productivity, really nice. Rather than just trying to do everything all over every single day and having a scattered mess.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Really cool. Awesome. So you're always going to make time for the one thing I always like to say to people is you always got to have that time to do the new things, like to bring new life into the business. Otherwise, you're forever reacting to things. And you know, what you've just shared there is just even that structure is gold for, you know, for a lot of consultants and trainers and things that might be listening to, you know, to always ensure that there's time to be working on things that are going to bring new life and keep growing the business. Very cool. Thanks for sharing that. So in terms of productivity and kind of presentation skills, what would be the best way to give the most value for our listeners today? Do you think some sort of productivity tips or something you could share?
Yeah,
or even, you know, presentation, probably productivity will be, you know, relevant for everybody. But whatever, let's see what you got in the pocket, some sort of skills that you can...
Let's open up this pocket.
Yeah, let's open up the pocket and see what this guy's got in there for us. That would be cool. If, you know, if there's something that you'd see as value for the listeners would be awesome.
Yeah, let's do it. Nice. So, by the way, as a, you know, I guess a precursor to this, the reason why I love productivity is because I never used to be good at it. You know, I'm not one of those people who is naturally organized, who's highly disciplined. I'm naturally quite creative, you know, right brain, you know, get distracted quite easily. So for me, I've got a passion for this because I was not naturally good at it, and I've had to become good at it to bring value to my clients and to serve people more effectively. So I kind of came to the point where I decided, you know, enough is enough. I actually need to step up in this game, and then did a whole bunch of learning, like kind of totally immersed myself in all the various programs that are out there, read dozens of books, you know, tried all the apps and so forth. So this is kind of accumulation of all that sort of stuff, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. Nice.
Yeah. So for me, there's kind of like six levels that people function on, and I'll just quickly kind of go through them. And then even as I'm going through them, you might even think, you know, I wonder what level I'm kind of functioning or spending my time on. Mm-hmm. The bottom level is what I call avoiding. And avoiding is where someone is continually procrastinating work. So a lot of the time, this is because they're in a role that isn't aligned with their strengths or their skills or their passions and so forth. But if you're continually procrastinating work all the time, avoiding work, that's kind of like a very kind of moving away drive, and you're not really moving forward in the areas of productivity. So that's kind of the bottom level, right? The next level up is what I call distracted. And distracted is where you're really overwhelmed by the work. You're kind of running around like a headless chicken. There is no real clarity in terms of where you're going. You're just reacting to what's happening in your world. You've got your inbox open all day. You know, you're just responding to emails all day. You're just continually distracted by meetings and getting pulled every which way and every which direction. So that's distracted level, the second level. The third level is what I call appropriate. And appropriate is where you're kind of maintaining work. So you're not really thinking about innovative ideas. You're just plodding along. You're maintaining work. You're not really growing in your business. You're not really falling back. You're kind of just doing okay. Kind of you're just treading water. Your head's above water. The fourth level is what I call disciplined work. And disciplined is where you're starting to know your priorities. You're starting to map out your week. You've got structure in terms of what you're doing. Like even what I shared before around a structure in the week, I've got a simple mental map in my week of when someone asked me. So for example, let's say we're doing a coaching session together, Christo, and you know, you asked me, hey, when can we catch up for our coaching session? In my head, it's only Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday that is available, even though I've got Monday and Friday, but they're my only days that I actually give to clients.
Nice.
So I've got like a mental map of where everything kind of fits in, and it's quite loose, but it's structured enough to give me a sense of clarity.
Yep.
So that helps me to have – some level of discipline and priority in terms of what I do. So this level is where people are like using their calendar well. They're you know, they're scheduling in time. They're blocking out time for things like, you know, maybe some level of innovation and so forth. But they're kind of disciplined in what they're doing. They're taking a more disciplined approach. The next level is what I call strategic. And strategic is leveraged work. And leveraged work is where you're creating systems. It might be models. It might be templates. It might be casting vision. It's really doing strategic work for your business. It's leveraged work. This is where you start to stop thinking, how do I do it? And you start to think, who can do it? So you move from saying, yeah, how do I get this done, to who can get this done? Because you're not the one doing everything. You're just a funnel that things go through rather than do. So it's through, not do.
Yeah. If that makes sense. That's where I guess massive scaling up and things can.
Exactly.
Can
it's scale.
In that. Yeah.
It's scale. Yeah. So that's the fifth level. And the sixth level is what I call inspired. And inspired work is game changing work. This is the type of work that it might be shifting your business model. It might be coming up with one idea that if you were to do that idea, it would change the game in your business. I'll give you an example, you know, like a classic productivity guy, like Tim Ferriss, when he was releasing his book, The 4-Hour Work Week, he thought, what is the one idea that if I was to nail that, it would crush this book launch, like it would just make it happen. And he worked out that Google AdWords would be a great testing place. So he tested a whole bunch of, you know, names for his book. And the one that was most clicked on was The 4-Hour Work Week. So obviously he named it that. But that one idea was, because he knew that, you know, 80% of a book choice is the book title for most of us when we walk into a bookstore. So he knew that if he can nail that, and he used Google AdWords to do it, then it's going to be a game changer. That's kind of like a game-changing idea. It might be creating a joint venture with someone where you actually have a partnership where the person can actually feed you leads and there can be this shared value that can happen. That could be a game-changing idea.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. These big ideas, the total shift in direction and those big I guess this would be a lot of things that, like a lot of innovation would happen at that. Would that happen at that level as well? It's like a new idea.
Absolutely.
To just reorder the whole thing, which changes maybe the way you work, maybe the way your business delivers its product, maybe just a whole new actual invention as well, you know, a whole new system created around things. I love the idea and what Tim Ferriss example as well. That's a really cool idea, you know, and,
yeah,
and the fact the testing, you know, to actually work out the language, that's really smart as well. But I guess the real genius in that one came in when he actually had the thought, wasn't it? It was the thought that, you know, what would the question that you said, I think it was, you know, what would have the biggest impact, something like that. Well, you know, what would have the biggest impact for this book launch to really crush it? And that idea of actually thinking, well, the name, you know, and having a name, which just people can't resist, that was where he had the real, is that where you'd say the real genius happened? And then he just kind of took it to method to kind of test it with AdWords.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's kind of like the how, but it was that pop of an idea.
Yep.
But it takes asking that question and creating time to actually do that. And a lot of the time, you know, as a business owner, you can't live in an inspired space. Those top levels of strategic and inspired, I think really amazing business owners live in the strategic space. But to go to inspired, you kind of tap into it. It's like tapping into like a genius idea, or, you know, actually creating space to have those thoughts. So you kind of tap into it and then you can pull back. But, you know, to live completely inspired all the time is probably, you know, very difficult. But I think, yeah, if you can sit up, I kind of draw a line at the appropriate level. So the bottom level is avoiding, distracted, and then appropriate. And if you can get above that line to doing more priority work, strategic work, and inspired work, then you're really going to be significantly more productive in terms of what you're doing.
Very cool. Yeah, staying out of those things. What do you say is like alarm bells if you're doing the things, like most people I'm sure would just kind of know, like they know when they're just feeling distracted, or they know when they're avoiding, or But, you know, to move above to a level like, you know, to move up to, say, disciplined work and strategic work to get on the higher levels, what is there kind of like alarm bells people should be looking out for? Like they just know that they're, I don't know, you know, like chasing their tail or reacting. What's it for you? Like, what? How do we know, okay, I need to make a shift here?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a few things. So it would be they always just feel overwhelmed.
Yep.
There's just this continual frustration. They feel like they're not in control at all. So they're just being pulled every direction. So a lot of the times kind of our emotions are telling, our emotions are trying to tell us something. So for example, a part of what I like to teach people is some level of emotional intelligence for productivity. So for example, when people feel overwhelmed, a lot of the time people think that, hey, I just need to start doing more. But all that does is it keeps you in distracted space because you run around like a headless chicken because you feel overwhelmed. But what overwhelmed actually means is that you are unclear on your key priorities. It's actually a question of clarity, not how much you've got on. Because one of the core beliefs that kind of works for me, it's almost like a helpful limiting belief, is that I'm always going to have too much on for the time that I have. And knowing that I'm always going to have too much on means that in the midst of all my too much on, what are the most important things that I actually have to get done?
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, because I'm never going to get into work and go, you know what? I've got nothing to do. Like, I mean, if you've ever worked for someone, you're never going to go to work and the director's going to go, hey, you know what? Just relax. Just sit on your chair.
This week you're cool.
This week, just put your feet up and just cruise. Like, it's never going to happen.
No.
So it's actually about priorities, not about not having nothing, you know, getting to a point where you've got nothing on.
That's
not the goal.
It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen anyway, does it? The whole thing, like you've just said, nothing on, never happens. I have seen people come
across. I'll check your pulse if that happens.
Yeah. The only one I have seen, like a weird, here's a little weird spin on this one, but I've seen people almost afraid to clear their plate, if this makes sense. Like it's like they've got things to do, like some things they need to do, or like they're doing managing some marketing things that they could outsource. And they sort of know that they could definitely outsource it or do other things, but then they're concerned about, well, what am I going to do with my time then? It's kind of like, you know, even in their own businesses, I've seen this where it's like, okay, look, if I kind of do that or I get someone else to manage this, well, what am I going to do? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's a really good question because, I mean, for me, if I look at these six levels, they're functioning on overwhelmed, distracted or appropriate level.
Yep.
So that is a shift in mindset of saying strategic, inspired and more priority work is actually more important than doing appropriate maintenance kind of not so much my strength or genius work.
Yeah, I agree.
And you're never going to get leverage in your business if you don't eventually start making that shift. And it could be just really small. Like it could be just one little project, just testing it. Because a lot of the time people run these perfectionist patterns where they believe that they're the only one who can do it, that, you know, no one else can do it as well as them and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And one of the principles that I like to teach in mindset is what I call release 1.0. And 1.0 is kind of like having realistic or slightly stretched standards for what you do, not unrealistic standards. So for example, you know, many of us have got like an iPhone, you know, that we use. But I don't know about you, but I don't know if you remember the first iPod that was released and it had like a green screen. It was like really thick.
Yeah.
It held like 1,000 songs.
It felt small at the time.
Small at the time. Absolutely. It did, hey.
Because it fit in your pocket.
Yeah, absolutely.
It did fit.
It did fit. And totally. And it was kind of, you know, it was great. Like it probably held like a couple of hundred albums, which was, you know, better than the, CDs and so forth. But it was their 1.0 version. Like if you look at what the capabilities of an iPhone is now, it's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But the 1.0 version was the best that they could do at that time. It was a realistic stretch standard for them, but it wasn't unrealistic. So they could actually do it. So a mindset that I like to teach people is releasing 1.0. I mean, Seth Godin says 70% is the new 100%. So, you know, that we just could keep up with the demand, with the speed at which people are wanting products and testing things. You have to just, like Seth says, just ship it, you know, and get it to a point where it's good enough. It's still quality, but you've got to ship it. You've got to test it.
Nice. Yeah, I agree. And I think no matter what, if people, yeah, like you said, if they feel like they're the kind of perfectionists and they're stuck on something or they don't want to shift things off their plate, nature will always fill the void. It's like you just start, and it's exactly as you've drawn these levels, they just move up. You know, it's like up they go. You know, okay, get that shift, clear your plate and move up to the next level and start thinking of some bigger ideas that you're not going to think of if your mind's cluttered with the activities that you're currently doing.
Absolutely.
Nice. Very cool. So this is gold. This is really good. So, and things that people should definitely, you know, all of our listeners should be definitely looking at and applying. And I recommend if you haven't drawn out for the listeners the levels as Colin was sharing them, just maybe replay this section and just draw them out so you can see where you're at as well. And it gives you kind of a good mind map of where you might be sitting. And I think where you might be acting most of the time. And so, because I think like looking, as I've just drawn out the levels, as you were saying it, and I also drew out your week, and I can kind of see how, you know, you're catering for the top levels within your week. It's like that structure that you've just created us for the week actually kind of ticks the, you know, there's a space, there's allowed time and space for inspired, there's time and space for strategic, and there's time and space for disciplined work. You know, it's kind of you've made time and space for it, which is gold. It's a perfect little model to so thank you.
Thank you.
Very nice. What are you like in terms of your getting yourself out there and marketing and things, what do you do? Like, how do you get your how do you get known? You did touch on it already in terms of the whole networking and things and getting doing freebies and things. Has there been other things that have been productive for you to kind of grow your own business as well?
Yeah. So my big strategies that give me the biggest leverage with marketing is, so speaking is a massive one. I mean, for my style of business, it works really well. It may not work for everyone, but it definitely works really great for me. Speaking at free networking events or, you know, alumni organizations or, you know, different marketing events. Speaking is a big one because it gives you a level of authority and credibility. Mm-hmm. The another big one is I do a lot of video marketing. So if you go to my website, colinboyd.com.au, yep. You can see on my website there's I do like short videos. So they're like super high quality content. They're pretty slick. I get a videographer to do them and edit them. And really what they're about is giving really great value. People get to feel and see me, and then they contact me. And I've had quite a few big brands actually contact me and say, hey, we really like your videos. We think you would fit well in our organization, because they actually get to experience me in terms of delivering some content. So, that's a big one, video marketing. And I don't do a whole lot of networking now. Personally, I like to speak at a networking event as opposed to go to it, but it depends on where you're at. Like, you know, when I was first starting my business, it was definitely just go to whatever networking event I could, and that generated some business. A big thing for me as well is my, you know, if you're doing really great quality work, then you're going to generate other quality work. So I always find that my work creates work. So nice. Yeah, so the amount of work I've kind of hit like this kind of turning point, like a tipping point,
like a critical mass.
Like a critical mass. And and my work creates work. So that will lead on to other things and so forth, referrals. Yeah, referrals is a big thing to me.
Yeah, awesome. And it's a really good insight that, because I think a lot of the time business owners at all different levels and you know, our listeners have all different kinds of businesses, but it's just recognizing too that when you're actually delivering your product or your service, your marketing, like you've just, you know, hit the nail 100%. On the head with that one. It's doing a great job and being better than anyone else and being fantastic and having these points of difference is marketing yourself, because, you know, they're going to tell their friends or get you back for the next time. So even it's like Apple, another good example of that, you know, you open the box and even that whole process, you know, you've already paid them the money. They could just easily say, thanks a lot, see you later, there's your thing, bye for now. But even the whole thing is marketing. You know, they're marketing the whole experience of using the computer, from the lifetime of using that computer, just as you open the box. And even for consultants and things, I know, you know, ourselves too, we always want the space to be really nice. We want people to walk in and say, wow. You know, even at things like, I know this, you know, firsthand ourselves with our own workshops and with some people that do training and things in our community, we'll even tell them to look, set the tables so that when people walk in that like their handout's neat, that pens are all lined up exactly the same way. Like it sounds a bit anal, but it's even in that delivery, because we see it too often where people take the money in sort of like, thank you very much, kind of turn the back on the people.
So true.
Yeah, so that's a really good insight that you.
It's kind of like in shop and in home. So like in shop is like front end, so the sales process that they where they purchase it, and it's like, you know, when you bring a product home, you open up and you think, oh, yep. Wow, this actually doesn't really work that well. That's like your in home experience. So
yes.
they've got to be both amazing.
Yep. Yep, awesome. And also you mentioned video, which I agree is a really cool strategy. And video is – well, part of the reason I love video too is because you do it once and it sits there and it can serve you forever.
Yeah.
Like imagine some of your clients, they might – well, some prospects might look at a video and you might have made it a year ago, but they still check it out and it's something that they that resonates with them. You know, you say it positions you nicely in front of them. It kind of almost makes you like a little celebrity in a way, because there they are watching you on video. Yeah, it's kind of that evergreen set and forget style of marketing, which I love that as well. And the reach is, you know, infinite. You know, it doesn't matter whether 10 people or 10,000 people play the video. It's not going to cost you any more time or money.
Yeah, absolutely. I literally did that last week. I because I'm promoting a presentation skills workshop that I'm running, and I sent a video that I created a year ago, and I had a whole bunch of people reply back and say, "This is so great," and I'd already sent it to them, you know, a year ago, but they forgot about it, or they didn't open the email, and saw it that time. They're like, "Oh, this is amazing," and you wouldn't know that it was a year ago. So, yeah, it's like evergreen.
Nice. What about yourself? Like, what do you do? How do you keep yourself at the forefront? Like, you've obviously got time and things in your week, which has given me a good insight already. But how do you keep yourself, you know, ahead of the game and keep yourself at the forefront of what's out there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm involved in a few kind of like mentoring programs that I pay and subscribe to, you know, similar to what you run.
Yep.
So that's a big thing for me, being around people who are, you know, thought leaders in their industry and so forth. So being a part of, mentoring groups and mastermind groups is something that I do and am in at the moment. Another thing is I do a lot of reading, so I love to read. And one of the concepts I like to teach is start the day inspired. So I'll usually dedicate like 15 minutes of reading before I actually start my day, and it might be just a really cool book. So at the moment, I'm reading a great book called 18 Minutes by a guy called Peter Bregman, and it's a productivity book. And so even if it's just 15 minutes, it just kind of inspires me with a few different thoughts and so forth, and then I'll try to implement them through the day. So that's reading's a big one for me, and mastermind groups.
Yeah, I agree too. With in terms of mastermind groups and being part of groups and things and part of training, it's always priceless, isn't it? When you build a network and you get the insights from people, you know, who are also doing great things, really cool. It's like catching up with yourself. You know, I like catching up with cool people.
I'm so awesome. And if you video yourself, you can actually watch yourself over and over again and say, wow, I am amazing.
Well, yes. Well, it's definitely good to mingle too. And once you're at that point, then you kind of make friends and you get those insights with others as well that are in those groups too, you know. It's definitely good to be around, whether you're, you know, paying for it and being with other groups. I think always as well, you know, you just being around other people that are doing great things is going to rub off on yourself. I could hear the birds tweeting in the background there where you are just then. It was a good little insight into your nature retreat. I'm down near the beach, so hopefully you might hear the surf as well.
Good on you, Christo.
is anything funny or weird? This is a question I like to ask. It might put you on the spot a little bit, but has there been something like the funniest thing or weirdest thing that's kind of happened to you in business? Have you got anything that comes to mind, something just strange or bizarre or weird that could be, you know, that's happened to you or could be interesting for the listeners?
I mean... I don't know what you find weird. I don't know how weird we want to go.
We can go as weird as you like.
We can go real weird.
Yeah.
I mean, other than like, you know, whenever I'm speaking, I'll always say something that I just think, you know, did I really say that? you know, or I'll mispronounce a word or... and I mean, for me, I always try to make fun of myself, try to take myself pretty lightly when I'm up there speaking. So just like mispronouncing words, all that sort of stuff. We have a lot of fun internally in our business, even though, you know, I've got mainly virtual assistants in my business. You know, some of them are just absolute characters, like, you know, oh, sorry, you know, I couldn't get to the phone because I was, you know, on the toilet. And I'm like, why are you telling me you're on the phone? They'll just get really like, yeah, I'll just tell me stuff and thinking, like, why are you telling me this? So just kind of really, you know, quirky kind of experiences internally. But anyway, that's, you know, I don't know about crazy weird.
No, that's good.
I know you guys have your meetings down at the beach and stuff, but I'll leave that up to you.
Yeah, I don't find that weird anymore though. That's just
awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Before I'll get you to share where people can find out more about you and what you've got maybe coming up and things. Is there anything else, just to make sure I haven't cut you short on anything? Was there anything else you wanted to share or anything else? I'm just making sure I haven't kind of snipped you off on any you know, any tips or anything or any final word or anything before we
wrap up. I mean, just overall is that, I mean, for me, like I said, you know, I'm not naturally disciplined. I'm quite naturally creative. So learning how to harness like your skill set into some sort of, you know, process that actually works for you has made such a big difference in my business. And, you know, because a lot of the time, you know, getting to doing the marketing, being able to do that is actually how you manage your time, how you manage your priorities. So, you know, for me, this is kind of like a foundational skill, and that's why I've become passionate about it. And I mean, overall, I guess the framework, I've shared kind of the six levels, but for me, there's kind of a few areas that I really love people to master, and I'll just kind of, you know, just spill them off, but nice. Just you can kind of jot them down, and I think that they're really crucial. So first one's mindset. So that is like, you know, understanding the rules of the game. It's like switching your brain on, understanding how your brain works, all that sort of stuff. My wife actually studies, she's studying neuroscience leadership. So we're always working together with the latest neuroscience and things like that around the brain. So mindset's key. Second one is alignment. So just knowing where you're going, like having your goals, having your key themes for the year, having your key, even your week structure. So having alignment and direction is crucial. The next one is implementation. So that's like, you know, having like hacks and tools and systems to really get stuff done. And so implementing, actually getting stuff done, having a team around you and so forth is key as well. The fourth area I like to talk about is energy. So that's around like, you know, what refills your energy? You know, most people I know are completely running on empty. Their whole life, and then they wonder why they're so grumpy when they come home with their family, and you know, they come home as the worst version of themselves. So you know, knowing how to transition from work to home is really important. Knowing how to refill your energy tanks. So like, I know for me, even in my diary, I've got scheduled times where I'll do activities that actually refill my energy tank, not just work. So my diary is my whole life. So it's not just work, because your diary, and I love this thought, your diary is not really about what you want to get done. It's actually about who you want to become. So most people see it as like a, you know, a task list, but if you saw it as, this is where I'm going to spend my time, and as a result of this season of my life of spending my time, that's who I'm going to be. And so it becomes a bigger game. So I was talking about energy, which is like just making sure you've got your key things locked in.
It's a good example. The energy is huge. I agree on that. Like it's kind of good you put it into this structure. Like the whole energy, I was just thinking as you said it, because one thing I put on my weekly task list, like I create a task list at the start of the week, and it's basically just like an overview that I want to read 20 minutes a day, that I want to you know, learn this week, or implement this in terms of marketing, generate this in terms of sales. It just has a bit of an overview. And one of the things I put is surf every day. It's either surf, or if the ocean's looking terrible, then I go for a run.
Perfect.
And I was just thinking, as you said it, it's true. At the end of the week, as you said, who do we want to become? You know, I'll have grumpy myself.
yeah, grumpy version.
Yeah, if I haven't.
Grumpy bags.
Exactly, grumpy bags. If I haven't done those things that are kind of on that list, you know, so an example of a non-work activity, but if I don't do it, then I'm going to be a grumpy work. I'm going to be less productive and I'm going to be less creative. And then on the other hand, there's also work, as you were saying it too, there's work, which I'm sure a lot of our listeners will resonate with. There's work which actually energizes as well.
Completely.
And there's work that kind of, what do you call it? It's depletes. Just like chasing to the tail. Yeah, exactly. Kind of depletes. So it's a really good insight. Like, there's some work where I'll lose track of time and, you know, and when I'm doing creative things, lose track of time and get completely absorbed and come out of it, you know, pumped. So yeah. I guess it's good to ensure that we have some of that in our week as well.
Yeah, it recharges you. Yeah. So energy, and the last one in terms of this model that I like to do is environment. So is making your environment support you, intelligent design around your environment. So it doesn't hinder you, it actually helps you. It doesn't create friction, it creates flow in your environment. So they're kind of the five big areas. There's two actually last areas that I'm really been pushing and testing is one's team flow. So getting your team communicating and happening and flowing and meetings well. But the last one is actually home flow, which is making your home flow well, because a lot of the time we run our business well, but we get home and then we actually don't run our home well. So that's an area that I've really been doing a whole lot of research and testing and measuring and so forth. And that's been really exciting, actually. A lot of mums are excited about that, but I think a lot of dads could do with it as well. So
I think a lot of people can do with that. That's excellent. And how true, you know, how true. You focus all the time and energy on the work and getting things flowing smoothly and go home. And I'm sure a lot of people go home with then the grumpy tiredness to kind of let it all flop now that I'm home and unleash. Very cool. And it's all one and the same, isn't it? Like, as it for when you're the business owner yourself, it's kind of it's one of the, you know, your personal life and your work life, it's kind of, there's different things that you'll discuss and do in the different areas, but you're the same person going across the board. So you want to make sure you're looking after it in all areas, I guess.
Completely.
Very cool. Nice. Awesome. Very cool. Thank you for sharing this gold today with our listeners. Very cool. And
yeah, you're welcome, Krista.
So what about for you? So where can people find out more about you and your business or anything that you might have coming up?
Yeah, absolutely. So, my website is just Colin Boyd with one L, colinboyd.com.au. Don't go to .com because there is a country singer who won't give me his .com address. So it's .com.au at the moment. And I'm just actually about to launch a new academy, which is the Productivity Academy. And for me, you know, like I said, I've done a whole lot of reading, a whole lot of research, done a whole lot of programs, and it's, I personally believe it's the most robust and holistic productivity program out there. And it's going to be, it's an online productivity program with the goal of doubling people's productivity in 6 weeks. So I'm going to be launching that early next year. 2015. And really excited about that, just putting some finishing touches on that at the moment. So the website address for that will be productivityacademy.co, just C-O. So, yeah.
Nice. I guess if they go to Colin, if the listeners go to colinboyd.com.au, they can check you out in more detail there. And then will there be something announced there?
Yeah, there will be. Launch? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's probably the place to go, just colinboyd.com.au.
Beautiful.
No country singing.
Very nice.
I'm sure he's a good guy. With great songs.
Well, there we go. We've just learned about a new country singer as well. So thank you for that and giving him a plug at the same time.
Yeah, he's crushing it.
What we'll do too is we'll put a link to Colin's website below in the show notes on the basicbananas.com website. So if you're listening to this on iTunes or on your iPhone with the podcast app, you can head across there to basicbananas.com also, and there'll be a link there in case if you ever want to grab that. And we'll put some extra notes in there too around Colin and anything that he has coming up. Also, be sure if you are listening in through the website or however you're subscribed, you can always download the podcast app onto your iPhone and you can simply subscribe and the new episodes will always be updated for you there as well. And thanks again to our listeners always for making this possible and helping us to, you know, grow the community. And thank you for all of the referrals that you send out and bringing people along to the show. We hope you've got a lot out of today. Head across to, you know, if you'd like to leave some comments or if you have any further questions for Colin as well. If you're on the Base Banana site, you're always welcome to fire away there and we can, you know, pull him across to answer any of those questions and things as well. Awesome. Well, thanks again, mate. And I look forward to catching up with you soon. We'll have to go for a surf or catch some lunch or get a bit of a dinner or something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Can I just say one final thing? I just wanted to thank you, mate, because for those of you who are in Basic Bananas group, you know, Christo and Francesca are the real deal. And there's a whole lot of people out there who aren't the real deal. And these guys truly are. They're authentic, they're innovative, they're smart. And I think you've made a good decision. So thank you, buddy. You're a good guy.
Awesome. Thank you, mate. Appreciate it.
Love it.
Catch you soon. Cheers, mate.